Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight lies a melody sweeter than oh, in celestial light strains it incessantly falls through my soul like an infinite oh, wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in the fathomless billows of love. What a treasure I have in this wonderful peace, deep in the heart of my soul. Oh, I'm told that no power can mine it away, while the years old. Oh, I need peace, peace, wonderful peace, wonderful peace, coming down Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in the fathomless billows of love. I am resting tonight in this wonderful peace, resting sweetly in Jesus' control. Oh, I'm kept from all danger by night and by day, while the creek is flooding my home. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in the fatherless pillows of love. And methinks when I rise to that city of peace, where the author of peace I shall see, that one strain of the song which the ransom will sing, in that heavenly kingdom shall oh, peace, wonderful peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in the fatherless billows of love. Our soul, are you here without comfort and rest, marching down the rough pathway of time? Make Jesus your friend, let the shadows go dark. Oh, accept this sweet peace so sublime. Oh, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in the fatherless pillows of love.
Amen. We do greet you, saints, in Jesus' name. Amen. Just want to greet Selby. Brother
Shelby.
Shelby. Oh, sorry, it was written wrong. Shelby. Amen. Brother Cheslin's friend, and also Sebastian. Brother Robert's cousin is with us as well. So we do greet you in Jesus' name. invitation to Brother Bishop's house after service. All the saints who can come to his house this afternoon for fellowship and Ezekiel's birthday. So, invitation to Brother Bishop. Let's open Psalm 23. We're just singing about peace, peace, wonderful peace. You know, I'm sure you don't want that to be a song, just. You know, it would be sad to come and sing in his house about peace, peace, wonderful peace. And yet you're troubled in your soul, you're restless. You're lying on your bed at night, you can't sleep, you're worrying about the future. You don't know how you're going to make ends meet. Yet there's such wonderful promises in his word. Like Psalm 23, let's just refresh on that one again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's also read John chapter 10, speaking of the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Who needs French interpreting? Who needs it here? I know Sister Sheki needs. Is anybody else who needs? Just is it okay like that? We'll try it like that without an interpreter. We'll try to speak slowly if we can. John chapter 10. Let's read 7 and 11. In verse 7, Jesus says, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." And then in verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, may you bless your word to our souls upon this day. Father, may this word be life and substance unto us. Let your word become flesh once again. And Father, it's your desire, it's your will, because you've recorded in your word. And if we are willing and obedient, as you said, we shall eat the fat of the land. So may you bless your people this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. If you can put the slides, bro. Just going to have a couple of pictures here. But just to give you the topic. Last week we looked at shepherd prophets. You know, our thought is shepherds and sheep. But today we want to look at lamb shepherds. Then maybe we'll find out it's a little bit more personal than we'd think. We do greet everybody. We really do say sorry as we start for Sister Dube and her brother. I know that Brother Georgie already spoke about that, so let's keep the sister in prayer as she travels to go back to take the body from South Africa up to Zimbabwe. So we really do express condolences for that. And it's good to see Sister Teriro back in the house of the Lord, so may the Lord bless her as well. So our thought here is lamb shepherds. Now the thought of shepherds and sheep, the more you get into it, the more you see the wisdom of God. That when he desired to reflect his thoughts and his purposes, or who he is towards us, and when he wanted to get us to identify who we really are, he was very wise in that he chose shepherds and sheep. And shepherds and sheep, as you saw last week, it comes right from the beginning of the Bible to the end. He calls himself the shepherd. He's the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And we are the sheep of his pasture. There's so many scriptures that speak about that. So God in his wisdom, he was trying to convey something here to us. And I really do believe that the principles that the Lord puts in these parables and these metaphors, they've got a lot of virtue in them if you really, really take some time to get yourself into them. Because the Lord didn't choose these things for nothing. Now when the Lord said, we are sheep. Now the Lord looked through creation to try to find something spiritually. He's speaking to us as sheep. He's trying to find something which can relate to us spiritually. He's trying to find the best fit. He's trying to find something that we can look at in natural terms. And we can see a reflection of what he sees that we are in the spiritual realm. And when he found sheep, the Lord says, I found just the right thing. Now, anybody's ever been with sheep or near sheep, people from Africa know about sheep, although there's more goats, but there's sheep also. But sheep are the most stupid of animals. Honestly, they are. Sheep are dumb. As dumb as a sheep. Sheep are just helpless creatures. They are. They're really dumb. They don't know. They're defenseless. A sheep can't defend itself. What can it do? A sheep? Nothing. A sheep is just something that has to be led. It's something that, left to itself, it's going to perish. I was just reading about sheep this week. We were speaking about it the other night. Is that sheep have no sense of locality, of location. They don't have any inbuilt instinct inside of them to know any direction or to know anything about locality. It doesn't know sheep about here and there. You know, it doesn't understand those sort of concepts. So if a sheep gets away from the rest of the flock, it just stands there. It's just going to wander aimlessly. A sheep doesn't have any inbuilt ability to get itself back home. A lot of other animals do. Other animals can orient themselves. Now, they've got some built-in direction finding inside of themselves. But a sheep doesn't have that. And when the Lord looked at us, he says, you sheep. Each and every one of us are sheep because, spiritually speaking, we are totally helpless. Without the shepherd, there's no person that can find their way spiritually on their own. No one did. Look what man made. Leave man to himself, he makes thousands of religions. He'll end up worshipping statues. He'll end up worshipping cows in India. He'll end up worshipping his ancestors. What can be more foolish than worshipping your ancestors, friends? They failed in their lives and now we worship them. As if death changes them into something of benefit. It's the most foolish things that we do because we're sheep. And sheep without the shepherd, without the constant care of our shepherd, we go astray. It's just in the nature of sheep to do that. Sheep can't find their own food. They can't. Somebody has to lead them to their pastures. Sheep cannot find their way back to the fold at the end of the day. The shepherd has got to lead them back to the fold. That's why they have the big competitions with the sheepdogs. Because sheep just, you know, they're helpless until there's something there to lead them and to guide them. They are very, very vulnerable sheep without a shepherd. And that is why the Lord looked down on us. And I think as we enter this new year, let's always remember that, friends, that we are so helpless spiritually. Now, we can gather together as a group of people. We can gather with the Bible. We can gather with all our good intentions. But without the personal leadership of the shepherd, we're not going to get anywhere this year. We're just going to wander aimlessly. And that's denominational Christianity. We don't want that. Just to be following the same old system, but getting nowhere. You know, but if you're following the shepherd knows where he wants the sheep to go. He has the vision, he has the intelligence, he has in his mind what is required. And if we can just be sheep of his pasture, we can see the fulfillment of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me to the green pastures. He leads me by the waters of rest, the still waters, into rest. And that is why these simple parables and these simple thoughts, they are very helpful once you start making them personal. Not putting them off on somebody else. But when I read these things, I want to try to look at myself. Because I say, if the Lord is in his word trying to express to me that he's my shepherd, what does that really mean? Do I really look at him as my shepherd? Do I rest in him as my shepherd? Do we really know what that really means? Now, the prophet, he speaks in the message Fellowship, Minneapolis. It's a very good message at the beginning. He takes a few different things about sheep and shepherds. And I thought they were very full of virtue because they give some real practical instruction to us as believers. And he starts, first of all, in this message, he's speaking about Job. And he's speaking about the trials of Job and the things that Job went through. And he takes the scripture. Look in Job chapter 1. Let's read Job chapter 1. If you can just leave the slide there, bro. Let's read our Bibles. Job chapter 1. When Satan came up before the Lord, in Job 1 verse 10. Look what Satan says to the Lord about Job. He says in verse 10, "Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth now thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. So the prophet, he takes this particular story of Job and what happened to Job and how Satan was permitted to afflict Job. Satan was permitted, was given the authority to cross over this hedge of protection that was all around Job and to afflict him. And he says, you know, Job is the oldest book in the Bible. That's what he says about it. He says, but he got into trouble. He says, God turned Satan loose upon him. Did you notice how that God had to do that first? Now, friends, we've been singing about peace, peace, wonderful peace. And we're reading Psalm 23 about resting in the Lord. And this principle here, if you catch a revelation of it, it's going to give you a lot of rest. Because from this particular story, the prophet is now going to take us to John 10 verse 7, where Jesus says, I am the door to the sheepfold. No one gets in outside of me. So I just wanted to put a picture here of a sheepfold. If you can go to the next slide, bro, just to show. You might not be able to see it here, but this is a sheepfold in Israel. There's the sheep. There's an inner sanctuary. We'll speak of that a bit later. But there's a hedge. There's a wall of protection around these sheep. And on top of the walls, they put thorns and things like that to stop robbers, thieves getting in, to stop wild animals getting in. And you can see, you might not be able to see it clearly, but the shepherd is sitting in the gate. That's where he sleeps. There's no gate. The shepherd himself is the gate. He is the door. And you can see it in that picture there with the crook in his hand. Now, nothing is going to get into that place apart from going through that shepherd. And nothing's going to get out unless it goes out through that shepherd. So anything that's going to happen to those sheep, it's going to have to be with the permission of the shepherd. Can you see that? Nothing is going to happen to those sheep, friends, without the shepherd permitting it to happen to those sheep. Because that shepherd, if something's going to try to come to those sheep that the shepherd doesn't want to get to those sheep, he's the good shepherd. He's willing to lay down his life for the sheep. He's never going to allow anything to get inside of there. So the prophet says that. He says, I was amazed some time ago, standing in the Orient. I took the scripture, John chapter 5, I am the door to the sheepfold. And I always wondered how that could be. How Jesus, a man, could be the door to his sheepfold. I couldn't understand it till I got into that country. And he says that. He says, when you go into those eastern countries where the Bible was written, the Bible becomes a new book because you start to understand that God in his wisdom, he took the culture of that land and the way that things were in nature, and he used those as the parables when he was instructing and teaching his people. But he says the problem with us, we look at a Western interpretation, because Western shepherds can live in another county from their sheep, can live in another country from their sheep, can live somewhere else like that. You know, it's just a job, an occupation like that. But in the East in those days, it was such a personal thing. That shepherd would sleep with those sheep. He would never leave his sheep. He was always there because he knew the nature of sheep, that sheep require protection, require vigilance, because they're helpless. They can't defend themselves. They can't make provision for themselves in the things that are necessary. So he says that. He says, but look at this. This is the shepherd in those days. He had a fold. A sheepfold. And after all the sheep had come in, he would lay down in the door. Therefore, no sheep can go out, and no wolf can come in unless it comes over the shepherd. He says, think of it. Think how safe you are. Now, if you are really one of his sheep, if you've entrusted yourself today to the great shepherd, if you've generally given your life to Jesus Christ and you trust in him and none other, you've laid yourself on the altar and you said, I am your sheep, you are my shepherd. I entrust all that I am and all that I'll ever be into your hands. I'm not going to go anywhere unless you lead me. I'm not going to eat anything unless you feed me. I'm trusting in you. And if we could really understand that God in his nature is a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He calls himself Jehovah Ra. Psalm 23. I am Jehovah, your shepherd. If you could really understand that God's nature is to shepherd his sheep. If you want a proof of that, take Jesus and his disciples. Look how he watched over his disciples. Look how patient he was with his disciples. Even when his sheep got scattered all over, he follows them on the way to Emmaus. He follows Peter out there fishing. I mean, he's the shepherd. Those were his sheep. Now, he's going to watch over the sheep. He's going to do all that he can. If the sheep get scattered or if they get lost or they go astray, the great shepherd, he says, I am the seeking shepherd. He leaves the 99 in the fold and he goes and looks out there for that one that's gone astray. And then he comes back rejoicing when he brings it back. Now, God's nature is that of a shepherd. And friends, if you could realize that, if I could catch a revelation of that, we would rest. We would rest because nothing is going to happen to his sheep without his permission. Nothing's going to come into his fold without him giving express permission to it. Like he did in the book of Job. Because Satan said, but Lord, this isn't fair. Job's in there. He's hedged all around. You're protecting him. You don't let anything come near the man. The man is just resting. He's content. He doesn't need anything, the man. It's not fair. But if you just let me get to that man, I'll show you. And the Lord, he knew his sheep. And the shepherd stepped out of the door of the sheepfold and said, come on in. And in came the wolf. In came the thief. In came the robber. Because that's what the devil is. But he had to have divine permission to come in there. Now look how he says it. He says, the Christian experience is based solemnly upon rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. We are tossed about with everything until we come to Christ. And if we really come to Christ today with our souls and we entrust them to him, he is a good shepherd. He is a shepherd that, friends, we can lose watchfulness. We are all shepherds here today. We are all ordained to watch over one another. We are our brother's keeper. Now, each and every one of us, you as a mother, you are a shepherd of your children. As a father, you are a shepherd of your household. Now, each and every one of us have got a responsibility to be shepherds, to feed, to protect, to guide, to lead. That's the role of a shepherd. Every one of us has that responsibility in life in different and varying degrees. We all have that, but there's going to be times where we're going to lose our watchfulness because we're human beings. There's going to be times we're not going to be able to be there when the wolf wants to come in quickly enough. When misfortune comes and things like that. And that is when you need a relationship with the great shepherd. Because the Bible says, he that watches Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. He never rests. He's always watching over his sheep. Even when you're sleeping, he's watching over you. When you're at work, he's watching over you. At college, he's watching over you. When misfortune would have got you on the road, he's watching over you. He's going to be watching over you. So the Christian experience, if you really are a sheep and have a revelation of your shepherd, it's going to bring rest. Because if the Lord is your shepherd, I shall not want. And notice what he's saying. He doesn't say, I do not want. He says, I shall not want. He's speaking of the future. He says, if the Lord is my shepherd now and in the future, everything I need, he's going to provide that for me. And imagine if that was a revelation, how much you would really rest. You would generally rest if you could say that. And I do believe each of us would desire to say that with a full assurance. And he goes on to say, resting in Christ perfectly. No matter what comes or goes, nothing can touch us without it coming over the shepherd. Now, you look at the things that you've been through. You might look at things. I look at things. And I say, but that was hard. Or that seemed really cruel. Or that seemed unnecessary. But as a sheep, that's just the way that you and I look at things. That's not true. If you look and say, but hey, last year, I think of Brother Scott with his accident. And the things that he's been through. We look at those things and say, but hey, did something go wrong here? Friends, nothing goes wrong with God. Nothing goes wrong. If something happened to you, if you are a sheep, God permitted that to come to you. It had to come over the shepherd to get to you. And that's why the Bible says all things work together for good to them who love the Lord. Because everything is filtered by the shepherd. But now if that sheep decides he doesn't want to be there anymore, and he's going to get out of that door over that shepherd is going to warn him. That shepherd's going to stand there and try to stop the sheep because he realizes it's dangerous out there for the sheep. There's wolves, there's darkness, there's storms of life and all the things that come. But if that sheep overrules that and goes out on his own and gets into trouble, well, he's had to go over the shepherd as well. So no matter what happens to inside of your life, it goes over the shepherd. It's permitted by the shepherd. Everything that happens to a believer, nothing happens by chance. But when we go through trials, sometimes we look at them through our natural senses. We look at them through the way that we understand things. And we think something's going wrong. And we say, where's God? Like America says, where was God on September the 11th? Friends, where was God? Friends, God is in his word. And God is faithful to his word. And if you stay safely in his fold, anything that comes your way, there's going to come something good out of that. There's a purpose. There's a reason. It's going to develop something inside of you. It's going to rid you of something. It's going to lead you to something greater somehow. Because the shepherd, his heart is for his sheep. The shepherd's heart is for his sheep. The things that are happening. Friend, you think of a shepherd. Think of that shepherd. His whole life is for his sheep. Does he live his own life? Is he out at the nightclubs? Is he out there enjoying himself in life? He's not. His whole life, he's thinking of his sheep. He's in the door there. He's, you know, that's the life. And that types our shepherd. Our lives as his sheep are tied up with the shepherd. He's not complete without us. So nothing is going to be permitted to come in that God doesn't permit. And if God permits something, it's going to work out for our good. Just give it time. Like we say, let the picture completely develop. And something good is going to come out of that. Or sometimes God allows trouble or something to happen to keep you from greater trouble. Sometimes that's the way that he has to do it. Sometimes he has to take this from you because it was going to hurt you. Or sometimes he has to keep you from that because he can see something further down the way that is going to do a lot of harm to you. And I'm sure that as you go longer and longer in your Christian life, you start to learn that. You start to learn that he knows better than you. You start to learn that the safest thing to do is just to rest in him. Because worrying about tomorrow and cracking your head about the future, that's not a sheep. I don't think any of those sheep there are worrying about where they're going to find food tomorrow. Do you think any of them are? It's not in them to do that. Why? Because the shepherd's always done it for them. I don't think any of them are worrying to say, maybe the water's going to run out. Maybe the streams are going to go dry. It's the responsibility of that shepherd to worry about those things. If he sees the streams going dry, he's going to take it upon himself to find some sort of a resource for his sheep. Because that is the responsibility of the shepherd. He's the one that has to think of all of these things and take the care and the burden upon himself. And the sheep just have one responsibility, to follow the shepherd. Just to be obedient to the shepherd. If they just stay close to the shepherd, they're not going to get themselves in much trouble. That's just the way that it is with shepherds and sheep. He says, notice then, the shepherd laid himself at the door to be the go-between or the block. He's the mediator, friends. Nothing comes except through our mediator. He's the high priest. He's the one who's our protection. Hey, what greater protection could we want? But the problem is sight and time. Because of these senses, we judge by sense what we can see, what we can touch, what we can feel. But in that invisible realm governed by the sixth sense, to a believer who lives there, everything is under control. Sickness may come. Yes, it will. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers him from them all. Things are going to come, trials that you don't understand, things that you wonder about. But as long as that sixth sense is there and you're close to the shepherd, you know it's going to work out for your good. Somehow, you know that God is in control of these circumstances, though he hasn't yet given me the explanation. He hasn't yet given me the reason for the things that I'm going through. But give it enough time to unfold itself to the full. And you'll find that which you're going through, that which he permitted, was absolutely necessary for him to fulfill his thoughts for you in your life, which is for your good. It's always going to be for your good. He says that the shepherd laid himself in the door. He says, then I thought of my text of Job, how that Job being tested and tried, but he knew that he was righteous. He had offered the sacrifice. Now that is our confidence, friends, as believers. If we're not maybe looking at sheep now, but if we're in this kind of a setting, we just want the blood on the door. That's it. We just want to be safely in his fold and make sure that the sacrifice is there. And I think that's the only thing you have to worry about as a believer. Are your sins under the blood? Are you walking in obedience to his word? Are you resisting him? Are you trying to do things your own way? That's when you're going to get yourself in trouble. But those sheep, as long as that shepherd is there, that which God has provided for them, if that shepherd is sitting there in that door, they don't have to worry about anything. All is going to be well and all is going to be under control. Now, whenever they have these sheepfolds, they always make it like that. There's always different places in it. There's the outer enclosure there where the sheep are in that picture. That's for the mild weather when everything is going well. Let the sheep be there in the evening. But when the storms come, or when it's really cold, when the conditions become dangerous, the shepherd doesn't leave them there. He takes them within the veil now. He now takes those sheep and he puts them inside of the inner enclosure. And when the trials or the storms of life come, or whatever comes our way, friends, those are the times that you see the care and affection of your shepherd far more than at any other time. And those sheep, when it gets dark and it's cold and it's windy and the wind is howling, maybe the wolves are howling out there, the shepherd says, come in a little bit closer. And he takes those sheep and he puts them inside of that inner sanctuary there, and he's with the sheep. And those sheep have a closer fellowship with one another at that kind of a time. And they have a closer fellowship and communion with the shepherd. And they see the shepherd's care and fellowship in a far more personal way than just in the normal run of events. And that is the testimony of a believer. When are the times that he's the most precious to you? Is when it's dark out there, friends. When there's the storms of life and trials and the wolves are howling, you just want to be shut in with him. And that's a time the great shepherd takes you into a closer fellowship and communion with you and shuts you into that inner place. If you go to the next one, bro. This is a sheepfold, which is a cave. This is like where Jesus would have been born, in a cave in the side of a hill. But you can see they put the rocks all around and the defense, and there's an outer enclosure, but then they can take the sheep within the cave. If it's too hot, if there's too much persecution or trial or whatever, the shepherd takes them into a special refuge that he has for them where he can shepherd his sheep in a closer, more personal way. Because the sheep are going to need a closer attention and greater protection at those kind of times. And to the life of a believer, your stepping stones, the places that you can look back on and say, those are the most precious times of my life, or generally speaking, the trials of life. Those times when things were hard. Those times when you almost got to the end of yourself and then Jesus came and called. Those times when it just seemed you couldn't take it anymore. Like that song says, just when you think you can't take it anymore, he comes knocking at your door. Because he's Jesus, the friend of the wounded heart. And that's the truth. And that is the time where he really reveals himself personally as the shepherd. When those sheep are just out there in the field, grazing on the hillside there and grazing in the valley over there, and the shepherd may be sitting just playing on his musical instrument, whatever, there's not such a close fellowship. They don't really see at that kind of a time the care and the love that the shepherd has for them. They don't see the need that they have for the shepherd at that kind of a time. But let the difficulties come. Let those dark times come. Let it get to night time. And they can't find their way. And that's when they're going to really see, but hey, we're so glad we've got a shepherd here. We're so glad that the Lord is our shepherd. Because he can lead you back to that haven of rest. He can lead you back to his fold. And he can take you into a more intimacy with himself. And that's when those sheep look at that shepherd and say, but we're so glad that he's our shepherd, that the Lord is our shepherd. And that is the testimony, friends, of you and I as his children. At those kind of times, that's when we say, but how privileged we are. And as the world gets dark out there, and families are falling apart, and there's all of this confusion and insanity taking place, the shepherd has brought us into his pasture, into the richest place of his pasture. And he's taken us into the innermost place, and he's unveiled himself to us in this day. Friends, that's a great thing that the shepherd's done for us. If you could just realize that the shepherd's done it for us. And you compare yourself at those kind of times with your relatives and your friend and your family, sincere and good people, many of them are. But they've never allowed the Lord to be their shepherd. And they go through the same trials as you. Sometimes you go through worse trials. But you find your things don't fall apart like theirs. Why? Is it your intelligence? Is it your wisdom? Is it your strength? It's not that at all. It's your shepherd. Because he that watches Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. He will keep his eye upon you. And he'll make sure that you are provided for. Because he's the good shepherd of the sheep. Even if it means he's got to lay his life down for you. Which he did. To show his love for you as his sheep. That's what the good shepherd does. Now, he goes on to say that. He says he got into Palestine and he saw up on the hill. And there was a shepherd with all different types of animals. And the shepherd was herding donkeys and camels and some goats, sheep. And he asked the man that was with him and says, so does a shepherd just mean a herder, somebody who herds? And the man said, yes, a shepherd is a grazeman or a herder. He says, but you know the strange thing? The shepherd, this man explained, is more attached to his sheep than anything else. He says, now they both eat the same food. Imagine out there on the hillside. There's the donkeys eating, there's the sheep, the goats, the donkeys, whatever there is, asses. They're all eating. He says, they all eat the same food, the same grass. But when nighttime comes, the mules and the goats are all left out. But the shepherd calls his sheep and takes them into the sheepfold. And friends, that is the rapture. That's the rapture. That's where we'll see who's really his sheep. Because every one of his sheep is going to take them into the sheepfold. He's not going to leave one of them behind. Although we may all sit and graze in the same pastures now. But his sheep, those with the nature of sheep, those in a relationship with him that he is their shepherd. And they are his sheep, the genuine sheep. Every single one of them, when nighttime comes, when darkness comes, when the evening light is finished at the ending of day, that shepherd takes it upon himself, a personal responsibility, to cry out, to call, to gather all his sheep to himself, and to make sure everyone is safely accounted for in the sheepfold. And that is a confidence that we have as believers, friends, that if he is our shepherd, if he is the one who led us to these green pastures, in the evening time, if he's the one that has shepherded you and guided you to where you are, he who began that good work, he's going to continue doing the work. All you've got to do is just continue to be a sheep. Just continue to follow your shepherd. To have the nature and the attitude of a sheep. And every single one of his sheep will be safely accounted for at the end. He says, all that the Father has given unto me, I've kept every one of them. None of them is lost. Save the goat, Judas, the son of perdition. Because he wasn't a sheep. But every single one of the sheep, it says that our names are engraved in the palms of his hands. And you go and read, I was reading this week about shepherds in Israel. The customs of shepherds in Israel. And those shepherds, they know every sheep by name. They know each sheep by name. And this one minister was watching, and there was this Arab shepherd, and he had 51 mother ewes that had just given birth to lambs. And they went out to eat, to graze, and all the lambs were kept in the fold. So there were 51 lambs there, and there were 51 mothers. And it came dark. And that shepherd called now his sheep, and all those ewes came, 51 of them. And it was dark. And just by sharing the sound of the mothers bleating, the ewes, and by seeing their characteristics in the dark, he could take each of those 51 lambs and he gave them correctly to those 51 mothers. And the man who wrote that says, that's nothing compared to our great shepherd. Now, if the shepherds of this life can get so in a relationship with their sheep, that they know them by name, they know exactly who they are, and they know exactly what they need, how much more our great shepherd? That's just a natural type of a spiritual truth. That shepherd can make his mistakes. He can fall asleep on duty and things. We all do that. We're human beings. You sometimes don't watch over your children properly. You don't watch over one another. We're all the same. We're human beings. But not with him. Because that is what is upon his heart. Because he has the nature of a shepherd. And he is watching over his sheep. And Jesus says he knows each of his sheep by name. And he knows you by name. And he knows me by name. And he knows your strengths and your weaknesses. And he knows your characteristics. And he knows exactly where you are today. And he knows exactly where I am today. And he knows exactly what you're going through. Because he's permitted you to go through it. Because he's the door of the sheepfold. So he says that when nighttime comes, the prophet says, I thought, oh God, that's what I want to be, a sheep. Because nighttime's going to fall one of these days. And just the sheep is going in. God calling. And if you're just a church member, if you know nothing more than joining church, or if you don't know Christ by an experience, you might say, I know my creed. I know my catechism. To know the catechism isn't life. To know Christ is life. To know your creeds, to know the doctrine of your church, that's not life. But to know him and him alone is life. To know the shepherd. Friends, that's all I want in this life. I don't care what the world says. If I can just know him, if I can just know him more and closer in this year as my shepherd, if I can rest in him and become more finely tuned to instant obedience to his voice, so that when he calls, I'll respond. That's all that we have to do. Now, this man was speaking here in this one of Customs of Bible Lands about finding stray sheep. How do the shepherds do that? He says it's very important that sheep should not be allowed to stray away from the flock. Because when by themselves, they're utterly helpless. Now the Lord, friends, he called us sheep. He called us sheep. Because he knows. But we think sometimes, I don't need to go to church. I don't need to be in the fold. I don't need shepherding inside of my life. I know what I'm doing. I can go out on my own. I'll be fine. I've seen people say that, friends. And they've made shipwreck of their lives because God knows better than us. Sheep only prosper as part of a fold. That's the truth. A sheep just going out on its own, it's helpless. This man, he says, because when they are by themselves, they're utterly helpless. In such a condition, they become bewildered. They get confused. They get dizzy, spiritually speaking, after a short time. For they have no sense at all of locality. And if they do stray away, they must be brought back. They can't find their way back. And the Lord, our shepherd, his nature, he's the seeking shepherd. He is the seeking shepherd. We may forget about one another, friends, because of the battles of this life for a season. But he'll never forget about you. And if you're starting to go astray, he's going to call with his voice to get you back in the fold. He wants to get you back in protection for your own good and for my own good. And once the sheep just obey that voice, because Jesus says, my sheep, they hear my voice. They know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. That is all that he asks of his sheep. Just respond to his voice. Just stay close to our great shepherd. He says, the psalmist David said in Psalm 119, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. That's a good prayer. Because we get ourselves in a spiritual wilderness sometimes. We get ourselves far away from sustenance and green pastures and waters of rest. And we can't get ourselves back. I've been there many times. I'm sure you've been there the same. But the best thing that you can do is just bleat to your shepherd. And just say, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek me out once again. And he'll respond because he's the shepherd. And he'll come once again. He'll take those thorns that have entangled you in the thicket. Set you free from the bondage, whatever it is that you're in. Put you over his shoulders, like the Bible says. The strongest part of a man, his shoulders. And he takes you back to the sheepfold, calls other shepherds together and says, let's rejoice tonight, for that which is lost is now found. I've restored it back again. And that brings joy. Now, how many times have you backslidden in your heart as a believer? Times uncounted, friends. How many times have you got discouraged and thought, I'm giving up? Many times. How many times have you got away and thought, I'm going to do something else in this life? I'm tired of those people. I'm tired of that man who stands in front of there all the time saying this and that. How many times have you done that, friends? And is it your own strength? Is it your own goodness that brings you back to where you're supposed to be? It's not. It's the seeking shepherd. You know, when that sheep is caught in the thorns or in the barbed wire or it's been hurt by falling in the rocks, he comes. And you know what they used in those days as medicine was olive oil. They would come and anoint that sheep with oil and put it on the wound, and the anointing would come on that wound. And then they would bandage up the wound with the olive oil. And the olive oil is like an antiseptic, and it kept it clean. And that's why David says, he anoints my head with oil. And how many times have you been like that? That you just think, I can't go on anymore. And you just get in the Word. Or you fellowship with somebody. You get in the house of the Lord. And he anoints your head with oil once again. Then all of a sudden, new hope springs up in you. But I can go on. And you shake yourself and say, but he's my shepherd. I just want to keep following on with him. He's done it for us times uncounted. And friends, he's not going to stop. As long as we're his sheep, he's going to seek us out. Pour in the oil and the wine on the Jericho road to bring us back safely into the fold. Because he's not satisfied even with one is missing. He leaves the 99. So that's how it goes with shepherds. Now, to gather the scattered sheep. When it's time now for the sheep to be taken to the sheepfold, or it's time for the sheep to be taken to another location by the shepherd, like an Exodus time, when God needs to gather his people together for a purpose, this is how the shepherd gathers his sheep. The shepherd knows how to gather sheep that have been scattered. Especially is this necessary when the sheep must be led back to the fold, or when they are to be guided to another pasture. It is accomplished by him standing in the center of his scattered sheep. So the shepherd himself, he gets up from wherever he was, and he personally himself comes down into the midst of his sheep. Now that's exactly the day we're living in, friends. Because our great shepherd, he came down in this day when the sheep were scattered, like our brother showed us Ezekiel 34, when the sheep were scattered. He says, and it is accomplished by giving them the call, which serves the same as notes of a bugle do to an army of men. So that sound of the shepherd's voice, the sheep know his voice. They were saying that this man watched and he saw three groups of sheep and goats come together to water at the end of a day. And they got so mixed up together and he wondered, but how will these sheep ever be separated one from another and brought back to their respective shepherds? And he was watching and he says, how's this going to be? And then it wasn't a problem. Once the shepherds had finished drinking whatever they were and it was time for them to go, the shepherd just made a noise. Whatever noise that it was, he cried out. And every single one of his sheep pricked up their ears and started to move their way through the sheep and came straight to their shepherd. And he says other people were trying to imitate that call. And those sheep, the ears would prick up. They'd say, no, that's not my shepherd. And they wouldn't go. And it's the voice of the shepherd. He just calls and those sheep respond. And that's all that he's got to do. He stands and he calls his sheep. It's time to go. It's an Exodus time. He cries with a loud voice. And every single one of his sheep, they automatically come to him. He says, but what about the ones that are too busy with other things? Ones that have got a little bit too occupied in other things and they don't really want to respond to his voice. He says he takes his sling, he puts a pebble, and he sends a stone in the direction of that sheep or just beyond the sheep. And it cracks on the rock and it gives the sheep a fright. And all of a sudden it's ready to listen to the shepherd once again because it thinks that danger is near. Friends, he knows how to get our attention. Sometimes when the word doesn't get your attention, when he gives his call and says, come out from among them, separate yourself, or whatever it is. Sometimes if you don't want to obey his voice, he knows how to take that slingshot and create a little bit of trouble, a little bit of pain now and again to get your attention, to realize the importance of listening to the voice of the shepherd. But he says, he does not commence to lead them away until he knows they are all there. Even those a little bit caught up in the world at that time. Even those a little bit, you know, wandering to the borders and extremities of where they should be. He's not going to take them in an exodus. He's not going to take them into the sheepfold until every one of them are there. But he knows exactly how to get them to himself. And friends, that is his job. And he's very good at doing that job. He really does know what he's doing as the shepherd to bring us together. Now, he then gives a final story about the sheep in that message. And he speaks about being in a village. And it was a market village. And there was a market street. And all down the sides of the street, there were all of the stalls and the booths. And all the fruit and the vegetables was on the street. And he says, and I noticed, you know, shepherds in them eastern countries have more respect than anybody else. Going down through the streets all at once, the whistle, the cars, everything stopped and gave right of way to something. He says, and I looked, and it was a shepherd leading a sheep across the road. Everything stopped. The police stopped. The people stopped. Business stops. Why? Because the shepherd is leading his sheep. And friends, this entire world rotates around his dealings with his sheep. Governments fall or governments rise. Whatever it is that happens, everything is rotating around his desire for his sheep. If there's going to come a Pharaoh that doesn't know Joseph, it's required because of his sheep. If there's going to come a Hitler and a Mussolini in Europe, the systems are going to change. It's going to happen because of his sheep. Everything takes place, although you and I don't realize it, friends, because of his sheep. Everything. Kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall and everything. And God is guiding those things as the great composer. But everything works when the shepherd is guiding his sheep. Everything gets full attention. Then he goes on to say, that's the way that our shepherd is. He gets the right of way. He will lead his sheep and nothing is going to harm or bother them. That's why it says in the Psalm 105, when Israel was just a small little flock, it says he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. You see, when the king comes into view and his sheep are following him, everything else gives way to his will. Everything else gives way to what he wants to be done. And that's why if the laws start to change and things start to tighten up, it's the will of the shepherd. It's for the good of the sheep. Whatever takes place, friends, God's eyes are upon his sheep. His purpose, his heart purpose of redemption is tied up in shepherds and sheep. And everything is working in that kind of a way. Remember I told you about Brother Lonnie Jenkins when he went to Ukraine. And he had said it to the brothers there about how that city, Donetsk, had so improved over 10 years. Become a very nice city from being a real old city. And Lonnie Jenkins said, God always does that for the sake of his bride. Imagine a whole city of millions of people. The whole city improves because God's bride is there. Hey, you say that's not true. You take those people in our generation, those scatterings of Israel, and just a handful of them before the Second World War went back to Israel. The land started to blossom like a rose. Those swamps and all the malaria they had there and all the deserts, it became a place where they're one of the best countries for exporting fruit in the world. Why? Because the children of God were there. Joseph, the son of prosperity, will always bless. And Joseph is in his children. And I believe that, friends. God blesses a place for the sake of his children. A place. And God will rebuke kings and kingdoms on behalf of his children as well. Don't let anything stand in his way. When the shepherd is leading his sheep, let everything stop and get out of the way. Because the shepherd's not going to allow any nonsense if people get in the way of his sheep. And I believe when you get beyond the curtain of time, you're going to see many, many places that the Lord did things like that for you without you realizing. That God removed people and moved this and moved that. Because it's where this person's giving my son or my daughter a hard time. And he moves them out of the way. And that person all of a sudden looks and says, but why did I lose my job? I was trying my best. Why did they demote me? Friends, you find it in the Bible. Just because of Abraham in a backslidden condition, God comes and closes up all the wombs of the king of Philistines and his wives. God comes and plagues Pharaoh and his house because of Abraham. Because the man's about to do something to Abraham's wife. That God never changed. He's still the same shepherd that led natural Israel. But he's leading spiritual Israel now. That's where his heart is set upon. That's why he says the prophet. When he saw that, he says, amen. He knows the way that we go. He knows it, friends. And he's going to make sure that you get to where you're supposed to be. If you just stay with that shepherd, you may come to a Red Sea. But God was shepherding Israel. They were his flock. He was taking them in an exodus. He brought them out. Here comes Pharaoh with his army. What happens? The shepherd goes behind and goes between Israel and the enemies. And the enemies couldn't get into the fold. Why? Because the shepherd was there. And then he opens up the Red Sea. Israel's going through the Red Sea. And then all of a sudden, the pillar of fire goes up. And people say, but what's going on? Why is he permitting something to come into the fold? He knew what he was doing. He just wanted them to come in the sea so they can close the sea on them. So the enemies of Israel would be destroyed. Friends, that's the shepherd. He was the shepherd, the Exodus shepherd in those days. He came down through his prophet shepherd, like we saw last week, Moses. But he was shepherding his sheep in an Exodus. And nothing, whether it was a Red Sea, whether it was a superpower of Egypt, whatever it was, a hard-hearted Pharaoh, whatever there was, nothing can contend with the Almighty. Friends, you let something contend with the Almighty. And if you're walking in his perfect will, and someone wants to stand in the way, that's why the Bible says, pray for them that despitefully use you. You need to pray for them because the Lord's going to look down like it did to Pharaoh's chariots with angry eyes through the pillar of fire. And it says, and he troubled the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh. And their wheels broke off. Why? Because of just a handful of people. A group of them. But there were nobodies in the world. Slaves, mud daubers. But that was his sheep. That's who had set his heart upon. And God hasn't changed. He says, and then we watched those sheep come into that town. And he says, they got into the street where the market was. He says, there were all kinds of appetizing things for the sheep. Pears and vegetables. And things laying there that were very tempting to the sheep. And I thought, there's going to be a disaster. And the shepherd was leading his sheep. He says, more than 100 sheep. And he took them right down the street, these sheep. He says, but them sheep followed the shepherd and never looked right or left. Just went right on through with the shepherd. that shepherd could step out of line this way, every one of the sheep would follow exactly the same way. And I said to the brother that had me in the Jeep, "Brother, excuse me for a minute. I've just got to praise the Lord." He says, following in the footsteps of the shepherd. My sheep know my voice. A stranger they'll not follow. Just move where he moves. He'll go right there. He was tempted on every hand, everywhere, those sheep. But keep your eyes on the shepherd. Don't look at yourself. Look at the shepherd and keep moving on. And that's a good advice for this year. Because one of the most discouraging things is to keep your eyes on yourself. When you're always looking at yourself. But me, I'm like this, and I didn't do that, and I should have done that. Friends, keep your eyes on the shepherd. And other people, be careful of what you're looking at to the left and the right. Because those are things that sometimes the shepherd doesn't want you to have. And we get involved in this, and we get involved in that, and we wonder why the flock's moved on ahead and made progress. And we've stayed behind, and we're getting nowhere. And then you're lost, and you're bleating in the middle of the street because you were eating some illicit things that you shouldn't have eaten. Instead of keeping your eyes on the shepherd. Because he knows the pastor that we need. And then you wait there, and you need the shepherd to come and trace his route back. To come and extricate you from the situation that you've got yourself into. But he's so good and kind. How many times has he done it, friends? You get yourself involved in things that you shouldn't. You can't get your way out of it. And the seeking shepherd comes once again. And he takes you from there and he pours in the oil and he bandages up the wounds. And he speaks consoling words and puts you on his shoulder. And he leads you back to the fold once again. But I would say it would be wise for a sheep to learn a lesson once in a while. And not to continually make the same mistakes. Because one day you'll make one mistake too many and you'll meet the wolf. And the shepherd won't be there. And you make shipwreck of your faith. Paul spoke about it. He spoke of people who made shipwreck of their faith. People that got caught like Israel in the wilderness. They were out of tune with the great shepherd in the pillar of fire and his shepherd prophet that he had sent to lead them all the way to the promise. And they got out of tune in the wilderness and they started to wander in the wilderness. And many of those perished in the wilderness. But there were some genuine sheep, Joshua and Caleb, that stuck close to the shepherd. The prophet says, no matter what Moses did, Joshua and Caleb stuck there close with him. And the safest thing that you can do in your life is stick close to the shepherd. Make sure he's near. Make sure his presence is real. Feed your soul on his word. Be quick to obey, quick to repent. Be soft inside of your heart. And just keep in the footsteps of the shepherd. Just keep following the shepherd. That's all we have to do this year. Let's just keep following the shepherd. The one who started the work inside of your life. The one who called you to himself. The one who shepherded you thus far. He brought you to himself. He brought you to grace. Do you think these sheep, if you go back to the previous one, please, bro. Do you think those sheep had to worry about making that sheepfold? They weren't there when the shepherd made the sheepfold. He made a provision for them even before they got there. He made a provision for them to protect them and to keep them, and to feed them even before they were born. And that's who the shepherd is. And friends, God sent a prophet and he was already off the scene by the time almost every single one of us here was born. But God told him, store up the food because my sheep are coming down the way. And then God made a provision for us. He gathered us in folds here and folds there and folds there. Friends, that is God's grace. And you just find yourself one day that you're in a message church and say, but hey, I don't know there was such a thing. That's God's provision for you because you're his sheep. He was preparing a fold for you even before you were looking for a fold. And then finally one day you get and you say, but hey, I just kind of feel at home here. I kind of like this kind of sheep food. That's God's grace to you, friends. What greater proof do you want that the Lord is your shepherd? What do you want him to do? Do you want him to come down with a shepherd's crook in his hand and dress like a Palestinian shepherd? That's not the proof of him being a shepherd to you. The shepherd of him being a proof of him being a shepherd is by what he's already done for you. He's already protected you many times, provided for you many times, guided and led your footsteps so many times. That's what Psalm 23 says. He's been a shepherd to you. You can see it by what he's done for you, that he is your shepherd. No matter what people will say, no matter what you think, God is known. The prophet says God is known, identified by his characteristics. And he's unfolded his characteristics of a shepherd to all of us many times here. And he'll continue to do it if we just continue to walk in his footsteps, to follow. Now, in order for us really to be sheep, you know, it's fine to have a great shepherd. But if we don't have the nature of sheep, it doesn't do us any good. We've got to be sheep. There's got to be a compatibility between us and the great shepherd. I'll read this here when they speak of the difference between sheep and goats. Now, if you go out on the fields and you see sheep and goats, you'll find there's a big difference. They say sheep, goats. Goats are bolder. They're not as timid. Goats are willing to go and get involved in things that sheep aren't willing to get involved in. That's a characteristic of a goat. Goats are more venturesome. You have to extricate goats out of things that you never have to extricate sheep out of. Because that's the nature of a goat. Goats are more playful. They love the football. They love all the other things. You see, they're more playful. They're more apt to clamber to dangerous places. Now, don't get me wrong. Sheep can also get involved in all of this because we all have. But goats, anybody who knows from Africa where there's lots of goats, goats get into so much more trouble than sheep. It's just the nature of a goat. It wants to explore things beyond the boundaries that it should explore. And friends, the safest thing that we can do as believers, like the prophet says, don't see how close you can get to sin. See how far you can stay away from it. But a goatish nature, if there's still some unregenerate nature inside of your experience, that goatish nature wants to try out Hollywood a little bit more. Let me watch this latest film. And, you know, like Brother George phoned somebody the other day. He's not here, but said, "Brother, how are you doing?" He says, "I'm just on my way to the cinema." Yeah. And I said, "I don't know if that's such a wise thing for a sheep." But goats are very venturesome. They like to go to unexplored territory to go and find out what's it like on top of that cliff over there. Maybe I'll find something. And they get themselves in a lot of trouble. They're more apt to clamber to dangerous places. They're more apt to break into other people's grain fields. Let me go and see what Benny Hinn has to say these days. And let me break through and see. They're more apt to get into other people's. But as sheep, I don't care about those things. I've got green pastures here. Why should I worry about the next man's grain field when I've got a shepherd who's led me to green pastures? Let me be satisfied with the things that I've got here. He says, goats are more headstrong. They don't change their minds easily. When a goat makes up its mind, I'm going to do that. It doesn't matter that the shepherd will cry with a voice. Don't do that. You're going to get yourself in trouble. Sometimes goats have to learn the hard way. Goats are more vigorous and more difficult to control than sheep. That's why they say in Palestine, they wouldn't normally put the goats and the sheep together in the same field because it caused a lot of problems. So you would normally find the separation of the sheep and the goats. Like Jesus said, as a shepherd separating his sheep from his goats. You put the goats over there, puts the sheep over there. But unfortunately, in this way that we're living in this life, friends, that's not always the case. There's always sheep and goats and lots of different things wherever you go. The prophet says three kinds of believers. But the wonderful thing is that there's sheep, the sheep of his pasture. And they're going to want to stick as close as they possibly can to the great shepherd who's shepherding them through this Exodus land. Now he speaks about Azusa Street. In the message, Church in Its Condition, he's speaking of the lamb and the dove. And he's speaking about the characteristics of sheep, if you want to be led by God. Now, I've read this quote many times, but it's got a real good lesson in it. That if we want to be led by the Lord this year, if we want to go deeper into whatever it is that the Lord has for us in our experience, the prophet is looking at Azusa Street when the Holy Ghost first fell in 1906, when the dove first came down. And he's looking at the condition of the people that they were in, that were there at Azusa Street, which brought the dove down in that kind of a way, with some manifestation the way that it did. He says, a few years ago, I'm going now in a few days to celebrate the first falling of the Holy Ghost in America. 50 years ago. This was 1956, this message. at the Azusa Street meetings. He says, when Christ came down among those people, they were just as gentle, just as peaceful. They lived godly lives. They lived sacrificial lives. And our key, they were willing to give in. They were willing to be led of the Holy Ghost. That's why the dove could come down. And friends, if you've lost the joy of your salvation, if you've lost the joy of his leadership, if you've lost the joy of this covenant, many times that's the problem. Because the moment that you lose the nature of a sheep, of a lamb, you're not going to have the leadership of the dove anymore. Because when Jesus was baptized at Jordan, he was the lamb. And that's why the dove came down and settled him and abode. It says it came down and it remained on him. Because right through his life as a lamb, although he's our shepherd, but he's a lamb. Right through his life as the lamb, he never did anything to grieve away the dove. He says, I always do that which pleases my Father. He could be shepherded every aspect of his life because he was willing to give in. When he got to Gethsemane, as we always speak of, and the great crucial decision was there, and he had his desire as a man, as a mortal man, who was being led of the dove to the slaughter, but he was willing to give in. And that is the nature of a sheep. A sheep gives in. A sheep is gentle. A sheep doesn't force its own way. Goats are headstrong. They want it done their way, or it's not going to be done any other way. But a sheep is willing to give in. It's willing to submit itself. And that's why the prophet says the Holy Ghost could come down at Azusa Street, because the people lived sacrificial lives. Gentle and peaceful, willing to give in. Each and every one of those things. Characteristics of a lamb. Characteristics of sheep. And if we could continue just with the nature of sheep through a new birth, born again of incorruptible seed, the nature of the lamb himself in us, friends, you'll have so few problems in your life. So few problems. But it's when we lose the nature of a lamb, we want to force things our own way. It must be done the way that I want it to be. That's when you make the decisions that we regret. And that's when we get ourselves in the conditions and the positions that afterwards we say, I should never ever have got myself there. And the sad thing about this life, we can make certain decisions that you can't reverse. You can push yourself in certain things in this life and go beyond the point of no return. And then afterwards you realize, but I wasn't following the shepherd. That was me. That was my desire. Sometimes you've already gone too far and you can't reverse and make some of the things right. But I would believe that genuine sheep desire to walk in the footsteps of the shepherd. Not to stray very far, but to stay close to him. Now, coming to a close, what are we shepherded by, friends? We're shepherded by the word. Sheep are shepherded by the word because he is the word. Our shepherd, the word, was God and the word is God. What the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So our great shepherd is the word himself. So he is the one that shepherds us. A genuine sheep is shepherded by the word. And the nature of a lamb is the ability, the willingness to submit to the word. That's all we've got to do. Just submit to the word. When the word comes to show you, don't do that. You're going to get yourself in trouble. A sheep, there's an ability inside of the nature of sheep to give in, to submit. And you yield yourself and you're shepherded by the word. That's who really shepherds the sheep of God, is to be shepherded by the word. And friends, we have a wonderful word in this age to shepherd us. And this word is going to shepherd us all the way to the great sheepfold. Every person who's shepherded by this prophet shepherd message of this age, this Exodus message, you just allow this message to keep shepherding you. It's going to shepherd you all the way to the promises of this day. It's going to shepherd you right into his sheepfold. Because that's the purpose that this message was sent for. But it's just being shepherded by the word. And the greatest ability that you can achieve inside of your personal life is that ability to give in. Is that ability to yield. Is that ability to be gentle. to be humble, not to force. Friends, the shepherd doesn't drive his sheep. He leads his sheep. He goes before them. They follow him. He doesn't force them. Yes, he can throw the slingshot and try to make life uncomfortable for them. But he wants them to willingly follow. And genuine sheep will always willingly follow their shepherd. It's the nature of sheep to do it. And the nature of sheep. So that is the conditions of being sheep. In new ministry, he says, remember, you are sheep. And he's the dove. And the dove leads the lambs. And the lamb and the dove has the same nature. Now that's where our problems come in, when we're not fully born again. And the nature, the desire that you have inside of us is not the desire of the word. We're not in a harmony with the word. And the word comes and wants to shepherd us this way, but our desire, we want to go this way. You've got to have the ability to give in. If you have that kind of a desire, go and lay it upon the altar. Go and submit yourself to him and say, Lord, you are my shepherd. But there's a desire inside of me that is not godly. There's a desire inside of me that wants to lead me away from the paths that you want to lead me. But I need you to come and change me, because we can't change ourselves. He has to give us the new birth. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, that personal experience in your soul that brings you a new birth. And then you have the inward nature of a lamb. Outwardly, you're still a cockle burr. You've still got the nature of something that is not subject to the word. But the inward nature, the soul, the heart, you're now a man after God's own heart. You're a woman after God's own heart. What he desires, you desire. What pleases him, pleases you. And there's a battle, because the inward man and the outward man are always going to strive. But you just keep feeding that inward man on the green pastures. You just keep letting him stretch his faith muscles a little bit, and he will keep the outer man under subjection. And you'll find that your life, you'll continue to be shepherded by the great one who sent us a shepherd's message in this age to take us right the way through. He says, the dove is the gentlest of all the birds of the heaven. A lamb, the most gentle of all the beasts of the earth. Their spirits coincide with one another. The dove could not come upon a wolf. It wouldn't stay there. The wolf is a killer. The lamb is gentle. Now it's the lamb and the dove, one leading the other. Then he speaks of our great shepherd, our lamb shepherd. Do you see where the dove led the lamb to? All the way to Calvary for crucifixion. And he opened not his mouth. When they spat on him, he never spat back. When they smacked him, he never smacked back. He just went right on, knowing that he was doing the will of God. Knowing that my great shepherd has allowed this to come into the sheepfold. There's a purpose for this. Let his will be done. Nevertheless, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. And that's a great, great victory, a great overcoming if we come to that condition. So, Jesus, he's our lamb, but he's also our shepherd. He's a shepherd lamb. That's what he is. And friends, let's bring that close to ourselves. No person is qualified to lead anybody unless they've first been tested, they can be led. No person's yet qualified to be a shepherd unless they can first be a lamb. Because our great lamb showed us that. That before he became our great mediator on high, although he always was the good shepherd, but he first had to become a lamb himself. And friend, that's an important principle. Don't expect your children to follow you if you can't submit yourself to leadership. You can't expect your wife to submit herself to your leadership when she watches you day by not submitting yourself to leadership. It doesn't work like that. But if you can be a lamb to follow leadership in your life, God can entrust you now to shepherd somebody, because you know the way that you should go. And our great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says he humbled himself and became a man. He became a lamb. And he walked this earth. And then he humbled himself even further to death. Not just normal death, but the death on the cross. He was such a lamb. He had such a perfect character of a lamb. And that's how we want to follow him. Because what a wonderful shepherd that he is. Because that character that was expressed when he was a lamb. Remember the other week when we looked at Bethlehem and we saw David. Now David, God doesn't look on the outward. Samuel looked at the big brothers. As, hey, the crown will fit this man's head well. But God says, I don't look at the outward. I look on the inside. And God saw inside of David, though he was the smallest of the bunch, out there just looking after the sheep. But what was the characteristic that God respected in David? David could bow down to the word. David was a sheep. Because who wrote Psalm 23? David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And even David in his troubles in life, what did he do? Go and read his life. He would go to Samuel the prophet. He'd go to Nathan the prophet. Even when he was out there in the wilderness, he was always seeking counsel from the Urim and Thummim, from a seeking priest and all those things. That was the character. And friends, that is, especially to those people that want to get married, the greatest thing you can find in someone who you want to marry is someone that can bow down to the word. Amen. There's no greater characteristic that you can choose than someone that willingly will subject themselves to the word, the leadership of the word. Somebody may look like whoever, Tom Cruise or whatever. Might be big like Arnold Schwarzenegger when he was big in his day. That's not manliness. That's not manliness. Manliness is, Brother says, manhood is not shown by the size of someone's muscles, but by the bags in the knees of their trousers from prayer. And friends, that's what I want in my life. I want to be around people and fellowship with people that are able to submit themselves to the word. Because those people have got the character of Christ. Because that's what Christ did. He was a lamb. He submitted himself every step of the way to the dove. And God said, that's it, and highly exalted him and gave him a name above every other name. And he is our great shepherd, our great mediator today. But first he had to be a lamb. And friends, if you want God to enlarge your boundaries this year of responsibility in his kingdom, if you want the Lord to use you in a greater extent, just be a lamb. Just show that you can make yourself subject to his word and his ordinances, to the leadership of his spirit. Be shepherded by the word. And it's unlimited where God will take us if we're just shepherded by this word. But let me put a disclaimer here. The only time you really know somebody is being shepherded by the word is when things go bad. Because everybody is subject to the word when things are going well. But let the misunderstandings come. Let the trials come. Let this and that things go wrong for a little bit. And that's when you see the true nature of what is inside of somebody come out. And then you say, but I never thought that person was going to react like this. That's when you really see it. But you take someone like David. That's why you were such a great type of Christ. Take someone like Joseph. Such a reflection of Christ. Torn away from his family. Joseph. Imagine. Thrown into Egypt. Sold as a slave. Imprisoned for a heinous crime that he didn't commit. But the man continued to be shepherded by the word. It says the Lord was with Joseph in Potiphar's house. The Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord blessed all the works of his hands. And friends, that is the character of Christ. When everything is going wrong, when everything's telling you give up, there's no point in going on. There's an inward ability from inside there that kicks in at that time when you say, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And friends, you cannot manufacture that. It's got to be predestinated and born inside of the experience of a believer. And you only know it with time. When they all came out of Egypt, 2 million sheep, you would have thought. 2 million sheep. Wonderful praise meeting at the Red Sea. But it didn't take long, did it, friends? To see who was going to be shepherded by the great prophet shepherd and who wasn't. And then these ones lusted for this, and these lusted for that, and these ones said, you're leading us wrong, and these ones said other things. And very soon you find there were two sheep in the Exodus move. And God took the next generation in. And those ones perished in the wilderness. And friends, it's that inward ability of a sheep to be able to give in, to submit yourself, to give jurisdiction to the word. That even though your wife lets you down, your husband lets you down, your children let you down, your people at church let you down, you're not governed by your disappointments or your circumstances. You're governed by the word. That's still going to be your absolute. Even though you feel, I'm not happy with the way things are these days. But you still come to church. Why? Forsake not the assembling of one another together. You're governed by the word. And friends, if you meet someone like that, if you can marry someone like that, if you can be friends with people, where do you find? Follow me as I follow Christ. But if I stop following Christ, the prophet said in the message, if I stop following Christ, stop following me. Because we're shepherded by the word. And that is the ability. If you want to be an effective mother to your children, if you want to be an effective husband to your wife, if you want to be an effective deacon, minister, shepherd of the flock, the first thing that you've got to really, really make sure is that you are a lamb. That you are able to be led. That he is your shepherd. And if that characteristic's in you, you now have the qualification that you can impart that to other people. Because that's the principle of headship. If you're not under headship, you can't expect people to be under your headship. It's never going to work like that. That's not the way that God does these things. Now, to bring us to a final scripture, let's look in 1 Samuel 24. Just an interesting thought, a very quick thought. 1 Samuel 24, verse 1. Look at David's final test before he was made shepherd of Israel. Look at this final test. Where was it? I found it interesting when I read this. 1 Samuel 24, verse 1. And it came to pass, when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Verse 2. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. Verse 3. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. Now, it was in a sheepcote. If you go back to the previous slide, right? Or the next slide. Sorry, the next one. It was a place like that. David and his men had gone inside the cave, the sheepcote, and they were sheltering. And some of those caves, they say, are very big in Palestine. And they were in the sides. And Saul wanted to go in and rest. And he went inside of there. Now, this was a test for David. David, are you going to have what it takes to be the shepherd of Israel? What's going to happen? Here comes Saul. Saul is the shepherd that was there. Although Saul wasn't living a perfect life or doing things right, that was a great test. We had the same test in Zimbabwe before we left. When the shepherd starts going wrong, friends, it's not an easy thing to do. But Saul was brought into the sheepcote. He was anointed by God to be shepherd, Saul. He was anointed. And then the men said to David, this is the day the Lord told you of. Take things into your own hands. Smite him just once. Do away with this man. Now, was David going to give in to his passions? Give in to his own desire? Or was he going to be shepherded by the word? And David looked, cut off the hem of his garment, and his heart smote him. And then he came out of that cave and he says, Saul, far be it that I should touch the Lord's anointed. Far be it, my Lord the King. You see, now that was a great test, friends. And it's the same as us, one another, as believers. That is a great, great test. God will bring us into those kind of situations and those kind of positions to see, are we really lambs? And David was still willing. He says, my time hasn't yet come. I'm going to be a lamb here under the shepherd, because God ordained the shepherd. God is the one who's responsible here. And David was able, although ambition and all the other things could have made him take things that I'm also anointed to be a shepherd. I'm also anointed. But he didn't give in to that. He was able to humble himself as a lamb and bow himself down and say, oh, my Lord God, the King. And I believe God really respected that. And he said, David, that kind of character is fit to rule. That kind of character that waits God's time, God's leadership. That kind of character that isn't quick to take the sword, take things into your own hands, do things your own way. But that kind of character that no matter the circumstances may be pressing and tempting many times, but you're governed by the word because he's the Lord's anointed. And friends, your brothers and your sisters can sometimes get out of the spirit and say this and that and do this and that. We can all do it. But be very, very careful at those kind of times. I told one person that the other day. I said, brother, be very careful. It's a dangerous time, this. Because when you're not happy with something, be careful. Because you can end up sinning with your lips and doing foolishly before the Lord. You can end up holding yourself back from a greater blessing that the Lord wanted you to be taken to at that time. But he's allowed a test to come. The prophet was told, be careful what you say. Be careful how you behave at those kind of times. So David's final test, he had been through the wilderness, he had been through all the things he went through. The final test was in the sheep coat, where the Lord brought him there and says, David, let me see if you're still going to be a sheep, a lamb, when I bring the circumstances into your life. And David brought himself subject to the word, brought himself subject to the will of God, and says, Lord, not my will, but let your will be done. And shortly after that, Saul died, and David was put on the throne. And that is the sort of character. To be a shepherd, God wants to first make sure somebody can be a lamb. And that's how all of us as shepherds, of our children, of our households, of the church of God, every single one of us, we have to be lamb shepherds. That's what you are. That's the qualifications. You've got to be lamb shepherds. We've got to have that ability to be a lamb. And then we have the ability, if we can be led, God will entrust us that we can lead. And friends, may God help us in this year to enlarge those gates, to enlarge the boundaries and the borders of the responsibilities that he's given to us, to give us a greater measure and a greater portion of what he has for us. But the key to it all is the lamb and the dove. Is the Lord is my shepherd. Is that willingness, that nature, that something inside of us that we're able to give in, to submit at the crucial hour. Not when everything's going well, but when things don't go well. Amen. When there's pressure and things are pressed like that. And then you find from within, you act like a lamb. That's the kind of nature. Don't forget, the prophet was speaking about that in new ministry. He was speaking about what had happened. Because that's the kind of nature that you're going to need. Amen. To see the full identification of the word in each of our lives. May God help us. Let's stand. Let's sing one song before we come to a close.
I have a maker before my heart, before even time began, my life was in his hand. He knows my name. I have an anchor. He's in my life. He blessed me in this world. By faith he'll see me through. Oh, he knows. He knows my name. is each tear that falls and hears me when I call. He hears me when I call and hears me when I call. Father of life, never failing to forget, each moment is a Lord, you have said, if we call upon your name, we call on your name, we and our families will be saved. So we cry out your name, Al Shaddai, God of grace. A gift from you. We only here to tell the world about your till the day you take us all away. We rely, Lord, we rely out your name, out your name, Al Shaddai, God of grace, Lord Most High, Jesus Christ, oh Jesus Christ, we rely, Lord, we rely on your grace, Adonai. Lord of grace, Lord Most High, Jesus Christ. Oh, we rely on, we cry out your name. We cry out your name. Al Shaddai, God of grace, Lord Most High, Jesus Christ, we rely on your grace, Adonai. In praise, Lord Most High, Jesus Christ.
Yes, just remember we're going to Brother Bishop's house, whoever's free this afternoon, for Ezekiel's birthday, so we'll invite you there straight after service. We also, next weekend, we have Brother Bogdan Zalish with us from Czech Republic. Amen. So there's no Friday service, but we have youth on Saturday starting at 12 o'clock. We'll have something Saturday afternoon, trying to finish early in the evening. So we'd really encourage you to bring your children along, bring the youth along. The brothers coming to minister to the youth. So we really would like to arrange something down that line. If the youth also have any questions that they have at that time, we're going to have a session of questions and answers. So if there's anything inside of your heart, anything you desire to understand, please come with your questions. Have liberty here at the church 12 o'clock next Saturday. Then Brother Bogdan will be preaching for us twice on Sunday. So we'll have a normal Sunday morning service, then about an hour's break, and then we'll have an afternoon service as well, as we usually do. So please bring along your lunch, bring along your sandwiches for Sunday. We'll just have a short break between the services, and let's be in prayer for those services, that the Lord may minister to us as the sheep of His pasture, and may His will be done. Also on the voting of officers, we'll do that once the brother's gone. And we have some other announcements to make. I'll do it just in 2 weeks' time once the brother's gone. But we're going to just make a couple of changes this year in the order of the services. We wanted to have some house meetings. And also we wanted to have an adult Sunday school class. But I'll announce it either next weekend or the weekend after. So just to let you know in advance, we'll have a few changes this year. So please be in prayer for us. Let's sing one more song, Brother George, if you don't mind.
In prisoner's chains, with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas prayed at night, and in their pain began to sing. Oh, they began to sing. The chains were loose. Oh, they were loose, and they. I bless your name.
I bless your name.
Oh, I bless your name.
I give you honor. I give you praise. You love. You are the light.
The truth, the way.
The truth and the way.
Some midnight hour, if you should find you in a prison in your mind, reach out, reach out.
Bow our heads, saints. Anybody has a desire before the Lord, if you want to just raise your hand. Now, sometimes people wonder, does just raising your hand make a difference? It depends on the sincerity of your heart. Because God looks at the heart. I want to speak of that prayer line where those people came for prayer and the pillar of fire came down and the prophet looked at that young man and said, you were one of those people that raised your hands a few minutes ago to receive Christ. He says, I can see it because it's still all light around you. So a sincere desire, a response to something the Lord has spoken to you, or the Lord is dealing with you. Now maybe just two hands up in a surrender to say, Jesus, I want to surrender this to you. Or just raising your hand to say, Master, it's too much for me. You told me to cast all of my cares upon you because you care for me. Whatever it is, there's certain burdens, certain things that we need just to be, by faith, simple faith, giving to Him. And if you're sincere in your heart and you're asking Him as your shepherd, as your provider, as your guide, to undertake in that part of your life, I don't see how He can't. But He'll start in a small way and He'll start showing you the way out of your situation, and you just got to keep submitting yourself each step of the way, and He'll take you from where you are to the solution to whatever it is that you're seeking, because that's the way that He deals with us. And if you've got sin inside of your life, make sure that Jehovah's required sacrifice for sin, the Lord Jesus Christ, has taken care of that sin for you. Make sure you've confessed it by faith, put it under the blood, have forsaken that sin, so that there's nothing between your soul and your Savior. And I believe just that simple act of raising up your hand, of asking Christ to be your Savior, or asking Christ to be your shepherd, or seeking His leadership, or seeking His provision, I believe a sincere desire at that time, immediately heaven responds and God starts to do something. And if you can just remain patient and just wait upon the Lord to let Him work it all out, I believe that if it's a godly desire, if it's according to His will, as the scripture says, He'll withhold no good thing from them that love Him and from them that fear Him. I believe that He will do it. Father, we do raise our hands to You because we are a needy people, because we are the sheep of Your pasture. Father, we are helpless without You, Lord. We do not know which direction we should go. We do not even know the food we should eat. Father, we do not know the future. It all is in Your hands. And Father, each of us today have different needs. Father, various and diverse. Our sister who's traveling, Lord, to go to bury her brother, You know her need. And Father, we pray that You'd minister to that need in a special way. That Father, You would be to her and her family, Father, just a special source. Take them into the special enclosure at this time of the sheepfold. And Father, let her have a special communion and fellowship with You. And Father, You as the great shepherd, may You draw closer to her at this time than ever before. And Father, may You minister grace, Father, consolation, strength, Father, all that is required to our sister, even as she would go. And to her sisters, and Father, to all the people that, Father, knew her, her brother. Lord, we pray Your grace, we pray Your mercy. And Father, to every single one of us here that have our different needs. Father, some have complexes, some have complicated situations. Some have troubles that they can't seem to overcome. Father, some people have natures that, Father, so many times get the better of them. And they say things and do things they regret, and it brings trouble in the home and brings a bad representation of what they believe to their children and to them that are around them. And Father, they raise their hands to You because they know, Father, they cannot change themselves. Father, because the leopard cannot change its spots, neither the Ethiopian his skin. But Father, You are the only one that can come and do something for us. And Father, we just want to yield and submit ourselves to You upon this day. For all You desire for us to do is to respond. And Father, even if our response is just a simple raising up of a hand, may You bless that response. Father, to them that do not know You in a real way, I'm asking You, Lord, that You'd open up their spiritual eyes. I'm asking You, Lord Jesus, that You'd draw nigh unto them and give them a real experience, Lord, of Yourself, that they may know You. That, Father, when the storms of life would come and the trials and the big decisions, that they may be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That they may know. Father, I pray that for them. And every other need that we have, even our brother coming next weekend. Father, how we ask for your grace and your mercy, how we pray for your blessing upon everything that will be done, everything that will be said, that as our brother would go from us, we'll say it was good. For the Lord passed our way in the form of his servant. Let it be so. Let it be so with our youth. Let it be so in the meetings we have on Sunday. May you help us. Father, for your glory we pray. And in every other thing for this year, Father, we just commit all things into your hands. We just want that your agenda be our agenda. We just want that your program be our program. Lord, we just want that your will be done. So may you continue to lead and guide and help us. Bless each person as we go now. Bless Ezekiel on his birthday. Father, we do pray your blessing upon him, upon his parents, upon his family. May you bless them as well. And as we gather there, may you bless the food that you partake of. May you bless our fellowship. May it be acceptable in your sight as our desire. Keep us safe now as we depart from your house, desiring your blessing. In Jesus' name.
So much more than anything.